Say this with me. Say, I'm a covenant keeper. Say, I have a covenant with God. He takes care of me. He blesses me. And he keeps me. Amen, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and we're going to begin here. How many know that we live in an evil world? I mean, there is evil in this world. But we have a God who protects us in the midst of evil. And really, if none of us were ever protected, none of us would be here. Amen? And I know I've had my share of divine protection, and I will probably have more divine protection. Amen? Amen? But because you have a covenant with God, part of his covenant means he promises to protect you, to defend you, to keep you safe, to guard against attacks that come at you. You know, I was so thankful for the worship today because a lot of the words they sang about, we're going to talk about. Amen? And notice what it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son? How many of us have been translated from darkness? Amen? You've been taken out of darkness. You've been delivered from darkness, but you're no longer in darkness. Now you're in a place that is full of light. Amen? You were in this kingdom before, but God took you out of that kingdom, and he put you in another kingdom. Amen? And because you have a different position in a different place in a different kingdom, you are a citizen of heaven. Amen? And because you are a citizen of heaven, the king will protect you. Yes. Hallelujah. We have a king who wants to be actively involved in your life, and he's got a plan for you, and he will guard you to make sure that that plan gets accomplished. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. He even delivers us, he delivers us from our own stupidity. Yes. You know? Some of the things that I was involved in, if I wasn't stupid, I wouldn't have been involved in them. Amen? And God shows favor even for that. Go to Psalms 103. You know, because you've been redeemed, you know, redemption brings protection. And when you're redeemed, it breaks the curses in your life and it releases the blessings of God. And in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Are you here to bless the Lord today? Yes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. But look at verse 4. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 5, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. And this is what God promises to do for us because we're redeemed. Now go with me to Exodus chapter 8. This is really a great example of how God separates us and protects us. And in Exodus chapter 8, we're going to look at verse 20. And we read through verse 24. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Isn't it interesting how even though Moses was a wanted man, he could come and go before Pharaoh as he pleased? Pharaoh couldn't arrest him. Pharaoh couldn't kill him. Pharaoh couldn't stop him. Pharaoh couldn't stop the plan from happening. And every time he would say, let my people go, it got greater and greater until he let his people go. And he came forth to the water and said unto him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Else if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon you and upon your servants and upon your people and unto your houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are, where they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, and no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be. And the Lord did so. And there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. Here's what God promised to do. He distinguished his people from the world's people. Now, Pharaoh had given the land of Goshen. All right? He'd given the land of Goshen to the Israelites. They could dwell there. They could raise their flocks there. They could be there. And, they started there with 70 people. Now, this was the third plague, and while flies were happening here in Egypt, in Goshen, they didn't even need a fly swatter. Amen. They didn't need a net or anything, because flies were happening in Egypt, but no flies were in Goshen. I think we need to declare the promise of Goshen again, amen? But I mean, flies are annoying things. Can you imagine swarms of flies being everywhere you go? All right? But see, that's what wickedness does. See, Pharaoh didn't have a covenant with God. He didn't have an agreement with God. He was against God. He was opposed to God's plan. He resisted God. He stood in opposition, blatant opposition. He wasn't even subtle about it. Who is this God? I don't know him. I'm not letting your people go. But God made a distinction. And from this point on, every plague that happened in Egypt did not happen in Goshen. When the lights went out in Egypt, the lights were on in Goshen. Amen? When people were dying in Egypt, they were living in Goshen. Amen? Why? Because God made a distinction between his people and people who were not his. Did you know that not every person on this earth is God's people? I mean, Jesus even told the Pharisees. He said, you're of your father, the devil. He called them the devil's kids. But God will make a distinction. Why? It's based on his covenant. It's based on his promise. It's based on his goodness. It's based on his blessings. And God will protect you. Amen? If you follow him, if you follow the Holy Spirit, if you obey his word, God will protect you. Now, that doesn't mean that nothing will happen to you. You know, I went to Sierra Leone a few years back. And every time I go onto the mission field, I do not fear what may happen to me. Amen. Right? What if you die, Pastor? Ooh, I get promoted. I'm not afraid of death, because when I die, I'm going to be with Jesus. I mean, yeah, the people will miss me, but I'm going to be having a good time, and they'll see me later. Amen? But what I'm saying is, you got to have faith in God's protection. Now, when I was in Sierra Leone, everything was going good, except for one day. I preached in one church. My other team members preached in another church. And they sent their friend to come and get me, and we were all going to meet together to have lunch. And we were driving along the coast on a dirt road. It's a dirt and gravel road. And we're driving along, me and this other guy, we're both believers in Christ, we're both covenant keepers with God, and this car, two-lane road, all right? This car, three or four cars down, decided to pass everybody in front of him. But he didn't look because while he was passing, we were right there. We couldn't go here. There was a wall here and the coast here. And our first words that came out of our, we saw the car coming to us. We both said at the same time, Jesus! That, oh man. When you have too much power, don't clap your hands or your watch will break. Now, we got into a head-on collision. Well, you could say, well, why did God allow you to get in a head-on collision? God didn't allow it, but God brought us through it. God didn't cause that, but God delivered us. The airbags deployed. My nose was bleeding because the airbag hit my face. And, you know, when the airbag deploys, hopefully you never have to experience it, but your vision is kind of distorted for about a minute or two. You see like this white light, you know, and it's hard to focus. Now, I know that God brought us through. Why? Because God is my protector. God is my defender. God is my keeper. And yeah, the enemy thought, oh, this is a good opportunity to take him out. And God said, I don't think so. God said, I'm not going to let him be taken out like this. But God came into that car and he protected us. You know, I mean, it was bad enough to have to get an x-ray in Sierra Leone. I certainly wouldn't want to be treated. I mean, when you see a vulture in the courtyard of the hospital sitting in a tree, it's not a good feeling, you know? I mean, not only did God deliver me from the accident, but he delivered me from the treatment. Amen? And then further on in the Exodus story, Moses instructed the people to kill a lamb and to take the blood of the lamb and to put it on the doorposts, the top part and along the sides. How many know that's an instruction? Did you know that the instructions that God gives you is the key to your protection? Because the Egyptians didn't know to put blood on their doorposts. Because God said, I'm going to send the angel of death, and he's going to come, and he's going to kill every firstborn, except, say except, every house that had applied the blood to the house, every house that was covered by the blood, when death saw that, they said, I'm sorry, I can't come here. I've got to pass by because the blood protected the people inside that house from death. God can even protect you from death. Because they weren't meant to die in Egypt. They were meant to be brought out of Egypt. God had already given them a promise. He said, I'm going to bring you out into something better. And did the enemy try to stop that plan? Certainly. But was he successful? Absolutely not. It does not matter what the devil tries to do. Key word, try. Amen. Listen, the devil may take a loaded gun and aim it at you, but it will misfire. No, why? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I heard a story of one time, it might have been John Hagee and or someone else like that, but someone came up and unloaded 6 shots at point blank range and not one hit him. Why? Because God is your protector. Amen? I've heard stories of George Washington's overcoat had several bullet holes in it, but not one hit him. Amen? Why? Because he had a divine protector. God, say, God is my protection. You can participate. I'm giving you a free offer today where you can participate of most high security services. Amen? Amen? You've got a protector in God. And it's based on his covenant. Did you know that God sends you help from the sanctuary? Help is just waiting for you whenever you need it. All you got to say is help, and help will be right there. Help doesn't get delayed in traffic. Help doesn't get lost. but it knows exactly where you are. Amen? Go with me to Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. And Abraham and Sarah were going down, I think it was to Egypt. Well, it was to Kadesh and Shur and in Gerar. And while they were on the way, Abram said to Sarah, he said, hey, when we get there, tell them you're my sister, because then they'll look favorably upon me. Now, technically, this was true, because Abraham said she's the daughter of my father, but not my mother. So technically, that was kind of true. But you know, he was doing that to cover himself. All right. And notice what happens here. Okay. And look at verse 4. You know, because they thought Sarah was Abram's sister, you know, when you go to countries like that at that time, they could just take them as their wife or to be part of their harem or whatever. And but Abimelech, well, let's see here. Verse 3, God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, you are but a dead man for the woman which you have taken, for she is a man's wife. How'd you like to have a dream like that? Say, God knows how to protect me. But Abimelech, verse 4, had not come near her. And he said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation? He's like, whoa, I didn't do anything, Lord. All right. Said he not to me, she is my sister? And she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Why did not Abimelech go into take it? Because something was working against him to protect Abraham and Sarah. God didn't want any harm to come to them. He didn't want their plan, even though Abraham was in the wrong. Come on. He was still doing, overall, he was still doing what God, listen, we all do what God wants us to do sometimes, but we make mistakes along the way, don't we? That does not necessarily negate God's protection. Amen? Even though Abraham shouldn't have done what he did, God was still protecting. He was still working to withhold Abimelech from sinning against him. That's God's protection. That's God's defense. And then he said, suffered I not to touch her. So therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for you, and you shall live. And if you restore her not, know that you shall surely die, and you and all that are yours. Boy, that's an option. Restore her and live, not die. Amen? How many know God's serious about protecting you? Why? You know, he sees things that we don't see. He knows things that we don't know. And God is our good father, and he takes pleasure in protecting his children. Amen? And just like he did in Abraham's time, you know, he protected. How many know God protected Jacob from Laban? 10 times he changed his wages. Now, if that had happened to you on your workplace, some of you might have quit after 3 times. Look, if you're going to change my ways, I'm not going to be around here. But Jacob kept on. He kept doing what he knew what to do. And Laban changed his wages 10 times. But how many know God's protection took place? Amen? Jacob ended up becoming more wealthy than Laban because of God's vision and God's protection that he gave him. Can you say amen? So I want to encourage you today to have faith in God as your protector. Saul couldn't catch up with David. And do you realize that Saul had an army chasing David? Well, how did David escape so many times? Because he had a protector. God was his protector. So what are some ways that God protects you? Number one, God is your defense. Okay? He is your guard. He is your security. He's your cover. He's your shield. All right? He defends the weak. If you are sued in the court of heaven, he becomes your defense attorney. Satan tries to be a prosecutor because the prosecutor makes the accusation, right? But Jesus provides you with a defense. And you know what? He's free and he's never lost a case. Amen? So you can rely on him. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20. I have so many scriptures that I'm just picking the ones, you know, but I have several on each thing. Look at verse 4. Talking about God as your defense. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 4. For the Lord your God is he that goes with you. Aren't you glad that God goes with you? To fight for you against your enemies to save you. Woo, say, God fights for me. Didn't we sing, God is fighting for us? I got excited when I heard that verse. Amen? But he goes with you. He fights your enemies for you. Why? To save you. God's got someone who will fight for you. And when you just agree to his covenant, he'll fight for you and he'll win. Not only, God's never lost a battle. He's never lost a fight. Amen? And when you got someone fighting for you like that, what's going to happen to you? You're not going to lose. You're going to win. Say, I'm a winner. So God is your defense. You know, Israel, they're being attacked right now. I don't care what anybody says, we need to stand up for Israel. And just like they have a missile defense system, I guarantee you that God is their defense system. He defends Jerusalem. He's not going to let anything happen to the city. It doesn't matter how many people come against him. When God is your defense, you cannot lose. See, just like they have that natural missile defense, God is their defense. And you got to see this. Anything that comes against Israel is a spiritual battle. And everyone who comes against Israel is going to lose. Everyone who doesn't side with Israel is going to lose. Amen? So you want to side for Israel. Amen? They're our brothers and sisters. And they may not be saved yet, but they're going to be. Hallelujah. So God is your defense. He delivers you from your enemies. He is your stronghold. Number two, God is your fortress. He's your stronghold. He's your fort. He's your citadel. He's your castle. And when God is these things to you, his defense is impenetrable. Listen, the enemy cannot take a battering ram to God's castle and knock it down. He can't bust down. The devil can't even break a window. Well, then, how does the devil get in my life? Because we let him. Ephesians 4, give no place to the enemy. How do you give place to the enemy? Primarily with our words. When we complain, murmur, and grumble, we're giving the devil an invitation. The moment we complain, murmur, and grumble, the devil says, yes, I'll accept. And he comes in. What does a person of faith, what does their talk sound like? It reflects the words of God. when the 10 spies said, oh, I got bad news to tell you. We're not going to be able to go in because there's giants in the land. Ooh, giants. And we are like grasshoppers in their sight. How did they take a survey of the giants to find out, is that what they thought? They're speaking their own feelings. They didn't, you know, the giants didn't feel that way. And they said, we're not going to be able to go in. But two rose up and said, we are well able to go in because God gave us the land. Let's go possess it. I want you to see the difference between the 10 and the 2. That's how a faith person talks. A faith person talks like Joshua and Caleb did, even though they were the minority. You know the story of Elisha, when the king of Syria, he was planning secret attacks against Israel. And God would speak to Elisha, and he would tell him the king's plans. And every time that they went to this place where they were going to ambush Israel, Elisha would notify the king. He would send spies out, and sure enough, they'd say, oh, there's an ambushment there, so they wouldn't get ambushed. So God would help them avoid attacks. Then this happened a couple times, and the king of Syria got upset. He said, who is for Israel in our camp? And they said, there's a prophet who's speaking these things. So what did the king of Syria do? He came one day, and he surrounded Elisha. Now, Elisha was a person who had faith in God for protection. And his servant woke up, had his morning coffee, and he looked out the window and saw all these enemies encamped around. They surrounded Elisha. And he was like, Master, Master, what are we going to do? And Elisha's just sitting there. See, when you know that God is your protector, this is how you can be in the face of an attack. Bring it on. How can you be so calm? Because I know who my protector is. And Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. Because he couldn't see. So God opened his eyes, and what did he see? He saw the host of chariots and fire. God's angels encamped around Elisha. Amen. And Elisha said, they that be with us is more than be with them. And when the king attacked Elisha, what did he do? He made all the soldiers blind. And he led them captive. He said, you guys are going to the wrong place because they were all blind. He said, let me lead you to the right place. So he led them back to Samaria. And they were all taken captive alive. If God has to make your enemies blind, he will. But I want you to notice it was Elisha who declared that. All right? So God is your fortress. Go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. These contain all the words that we spoke today in our worship. Verse 1, 2 Samuel 22, verse 1. David spoke unto the Lord the words of this song. In the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his, how many of his enemies? All his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul. So this is, you know, David experienced deliverance. So what does he do? He writes a song. Okay? And he starts singing. Nelson's on the guitar. David's singing, leading worship. Amen? And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. And my deliverer. I want you to notice, you got to make protection personal. You got to declare what God is to you. Okay? The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, and my refuge, my savior. You saved me from violence. Sounds like a song that you could get into? Amen? I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Notice, he didn't spend a whole lot of time talking about his enemies or what his enemies were doing. He was talking about what the Lord was doing. See, if you're facing danger, don't talk about the danger. Oh, look at that danger. You see that danger? Look at how big that danger is. You're just magnifying the danger. That's not going to get you out of the danger. Amen? When you see something on fire, what do? You extinguish it or you call the fire department. You know, one day my car was running rough. And I pulled into the parking lot. I was three blocks away from the church, and I heard this pop. I thought my muffler fell off because after, you know, when the muffler's off, you got the blah, 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 you know, real loud sound. And believe me, if I had a car that matched the sound, that'd be okay, but I didn't have the car that matched the sound, you know. And so I figured I will park down the parking lot, but I parked away from the building. And I got out of my car to see what was wrong. And when I got out of my car, my back left tire was on fire. And that particular kind of car had the battery underneath the back seat. So I called the fire department. I ran into the church. I got a fire extinguisher, and I shot what I could. But it was already going into the trunk, burning the wires. And so the fire department came, and they opened the trunk, and they doused the car. And then my car was a burnt offering. Seriously. I mean, that actually happened. I say it was a burnt offering because the insurance company paid me good for my burnt offering. But see, God was my fortress. I mean, he's a fortress. He's a citadel. He is the rock of refuge. He saves you because of his name. Another thing that God is in your protection, he is your hiding place. In other words, he's your safe place. We all need a place where we can go and hide. Amen? And God is your hiding place. Go to Psalm 17. Psalm 17. I just want to encourage you today to have faith in God for protection. Psalm 17 and verse 8. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. You will not find a safer place than God hiding you under the shadow of his. You know, think of Jesus as your big brother, okay? And think of a bully, all right? This is me. Just pretend this is me and I'm going to be Jesus. And there's a bully picking on me. And here's what God does. He says, get behind me. And little did the bully know that when he messes with me, he messes with him. And because he's messing with me, he's messing with him. God's going to take action. In other words, God is going to hide me under the shadow of his wings because he'll take the blow. He'll take the punishment. He'll take the pain so that I don't have to. And all I got to do is keep my place in God. All I got to do is just let him do his thing. I'm hiding behind God. And he's my defense because he is my hiding place. Amen? Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Verse 5 through 10. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. When? In the time of trouble, what's he going to do? He's going to hide you. He's going to keep you. He's going to cause you to be safe. Don't complain about the trouble. Just praise the safe place. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Woo, when you get in the presence of God, you get a little cocky. You know? It's such a beautiful thing. And now, shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. So what do you do while you're hiding? You're praising God. You're being joyful. You're not even concerned about the trouble that's happening because you're in the safe place. You're in the hiding place that God made for you, that where he'll keep you. And while you're hiding, you're singing praise. Isn't that awesome? You can hide and sing praise and the devil can't find you. But he's your hiding place. He'll hide you from trouble. Another thing that God is in your protection, he's a refuge. He's a sanctuary. Did you know that you can find asylum in God? I met a guy who was a Chaldean from Iraq. And he started several churches in Iraq. And because he started churches in Iraq, he was a wanted man by the terrorists. And one day he was in his garage and his son saw a laser beam light pointed at his heart, a laser sight. All right? That means that a sniper had him in his in his sights. All right? And his son said, look, he saw the laser pointing on his chest. So they escaped the country. And in doing so, he became a refugee. All right? What that means is he went to the United Nations, and the United Nations then assigns you to a country. You don't know where it's going to be. You don't know what country it's going to be until you're assigned to it. And he was a refugee. He was given asylum in Australia. All right? And, you know, here's the good thing about this. Every place where this guy went after Iraq, every place that he was in, he started churches. He said, what am I going to do when I'm here? I'm going to start a church. He started a church in Turkey. He's got a church in Australia. He's got churches in Iraq. And isn't that awesome? He became a refugee and a church planter. But God is your refuge. You've got to choose to take refuge in God. All right? Go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help when? In trouble. Well, God, how come you didn't help me to get out of? Listen, he's a help in trouble. Here's the thing. When trouble comes, you got to make a decision, fear or no fear. What you decide to do will determine what God does. Fear or no fear. Okay? You got to have faith. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth be removed. Can you imagine the earth being removed from your feet? What's the earth being removed? It's falling away. You mean I can't even fear when the earth is being moved? No. You can't fear anytime. Say this, there's no good time to fear.
There's no good time to fear.
There's never a good time to fear, ever. How many times did an angel appear to someone or did Jesus appear to someone and say, don't fear, fear not? All the time. It's never a good time to fear. Though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. You see, mountains, the sea is just sucking the mountains up. Should I fear now? No. I don't care if the earth is being moved. I don't care if the mountains are being cast into the sea. Why? God is your refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Doesn't matter what's happening around you. Don't fear, because God is your refuge. He's your sanctuary. He's your shelter. He protects you from the effects of what's happening in this world. Another thing that God is your shield. Go to Genesis 15. Genesis 15. Now, since God gave this to Abram, it applies to us because we have the blessing of Abraham. Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." God is a sun and shield to them that walk uprightly. He gives grace and glory. Woo, say, I have grace. I have glory because God is my shield. And our shield in God is faith. What does faith do? It quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The enemy can shoot 100 flaming arrows at you, and 100 of them hits that shield of faith, and they go, it's a dud, it's a dud, another dud. The enemy keeps shooting, and the faith keeps stopping them. Amen? You know, as long as you're, what's a shield of faith? It's declaring what God said about you. It's declaring who you are in Christ Jesus. It's declaring what God has done for you. It's declaring what you have in Christ Jesus. When someone says, you can't do it, you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the shield of faith. When the enemy says, I'm going to get you, you say, I don't think so. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. So if you think you can conquer me, I'm more than a conqueror, pal. That's so when you raise a shield of faith, you declare who you are in Christ Jesus, what he's done for you. That's how you stop the enemy. All right? So God is your shield. He'll give his angels what? Charge over you. The angel of the Lord will encamp around those who fear God. So right now, you who fear God, you got angels around you. You have a hedge of protection around you. You have a fortress around you. Now, these are warriors. Listen, angels aren't wimps. One angel took out 174,000 people. So how do we make God our refuge, God our shield, God our defense, God our fortress, God our stronghold? How do we activate this in our life? You want to know? Okay, that's two people that want to know. Y'all want to know how to activate protection? Okay, yeah, that sounds better. Go to Psalm 91. You know, here's what George Washington said. It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. I like George Washington. So how do we activate this protection that God says, that God promises? You know, this is a promise of God. Do promises come to you automatically? How do you, even though God gave you something, what do you have to do? You have to receive it. You have to possess it, right? How many know God gave the Israelites Canaan, right? Did they have to go in? Did they have to find giants? Did they have to possess it? Yes, God said it was theirs. God promised them you can have it, but then they had to go in and get it. I can tell you what God promised you, but if you sit there and do nothing, you'll never have it. You got to do something. Faith without works is what? Dead. Dead faith does nothing. So don't have do nothing faith. Make it alive. Faith does something. How do you know your faith is alive? It does something. It says something. It takes action. Psalm 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Most High. Where do you dwell and where do you abide? If you want to activate God's presence, you got to dwell there. You've got to abide there. You've got to remain there. You've got to be there. Beware in God's presence. The good thing about God's presence, it's everywhere. Everywhere that you want to go, you can tap into God's presence. You've got to dwell there. If you want to activate protection, you got to dwell in God. You got to, listen, dwell there is not a visit. You may visit your friends in the next state, but you may not dwell there. In other words, you gotta spend some time there. You gotta dwell there. Okay? So if you want to activate God's protection, you gotta dwell in his presence. Verse 2. I will say of the Lord. Listen, you gotta talk things. If you want protection, you gotta speak protection. Mark 11:23, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive, and you shall have them. It said, say. You got to say some things, all right? Are you talking the problem or are you talking protection? Do you want more of the problem or do you want more protection? So talk the protection. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Number 3, you got to trust. You got to say he's this, then you got to trust it. How do you trust? Well, if you say God is your protection, you got to just rest in that. You can't say, God, you're my protection. I hope I'm going to get out of here. God, you're my protection. I hope he's going to save me. It doesn't work. That's double-minded. Either he is your protection or he isn't. If he is, say it and stick with that. Okay? God is, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Those are good things. All right? Declare your immunity. All right? Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. In other words, don't fear anything. If you want God's protection, don't fear. Well, what if fear knocks on my door? Don't answer. What if it rings the doorbell? Don't answer. Fear is a choice. And what happens is, when things happen in your life, it stirs up your feelings and your emotions. And your feelings and your emotions are like indicator gauges in your car. When your car needs gas, does your car tell you? When your car needs antifreeze, does your car tell you? When you don't have your seatbelt on, does your car tell you? If it's a more recent car. I'll tell you what, one time in New Zealand, my brother-in-law had this car, and every time it would go over the speed limit, there was a little bell go ding, ding. What? It was an annoying little thing. Because there's just sometimes you got to go fast, amen? Look at verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the most. Have you made the Lord your refuge? You know, making him a refuge is a choice that you make. Choosing to let him be your refuge, that's faith. Okay? Let's just take, for example, you know, next week we're going to talk about the covenant blessing of healing. Okay? All of us, at some point in time, we've dealt with a sickness, an illness, a disease, or something, haven't we? Okay. Now, when it comes to healing, you have the actual thing that's wrong. Okay? We don't deny what's wrong. You have God's word. I mean, it says a lot about what God's will is concerning sickness, disease, illness, right? I mean, you don't call yourself Jehovah Rapha if you believe in promoting sickness. It means the Lord is my healer. Okay? Now, you've got these forces that are coming against you. You've got your feelings. You've got the report that the doctor says. You've got the actual thing that's wrong. Okay? And it seems like the truth contradicts all of that. And so you've got to make your stand that healing is yours. So from this point on, when you enter into your mindset that Jesus is your healer, that healing belongs to you, and you're fully convinced that Jesus is the healer, you've got to depart from all talk of sickness from that point. And the enemy will try to he'll try to bring it up. Just by the very question, how are you today? You know? But there are times, what I'm saying is, you've got to stand your ground. You've got to draw a line in the sand. You've got to make up your mind, I'm not going to be moved from this because I'm making God my refuge. I'm staying right here. Nothing can move me from this point. Nothing can make me stop believing this. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I don't care what's coming against me. That's what I'm saying. That's how you make God your refuge. Verse 11. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. How many fully acknowledge that there are angels around you keeping your way? When you drive, if you got to get up tomorrow and drive somewhere, know that your angels are around you. You know? I mean, they're literally right here around you. You can't see them, but they're there. I know one time I was traveling from Tennessee to Illinois because my parents lived in Illinois. I was going to school in Tennessee. And so when we would have a break, I was driving, and it was late one night. I was really tired. And I'm driving along, and you know how you fall asleep, but you don't know you fall asleep? And I woke up. I was like alerted. And my car just kind of came to a screeching halt. Thank God there was no other car on the interstate. But I must have been sleeping or something, and who knows if an angel, you know, woke me up. I mean, come on, the angel had to wake up Peter in prison. Get up, Peter! I don't know what happened, but I could have gone over the side of the cliff. I could have hit another car, but something woke me up. Something got my attention. Something got a hold of my car, and then I got back control of it. You got to know that angels are encamped around you. If you want to activate God's protection, you got to know that. Amen? Verse 14. If you want God's protection, you got to love him. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Do you genuinely and sincerely love God? You know, our love for God translates in action. We don't hide our feelings towards God because it shows up in how we act and how we behave. And then you got to know his name. You got to love him, and you got to know his name. Who's his name? Who is he to you? Whatever it is you need. He's your provider. He's your healer. He's your savior. He's your deliverer. He's your strengthener. He's your joy giver. You need some joy? Start declaring, Jesus, you're my joy giver. When you have the joy giver, what do you get? You get joy. When you have the healer, what do you get? You get healing. When you have the Prince of Peace, what do you get? You get peace. You get whatever he is to you, whatever his name is, whatever his characteristic is. And then verse 15, you got to call upon him. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Did not the Lord himself go into the fiery furnace with the three Hebrews? They knew what they were facing. If you don't bow, you get burned. They knew what the risk was. But they were willing to take that risk. If you look at Daniel 3, they declared, "Our God in whom we serve." They had a confidence that God was going to protect them even from a fiery furnace. So they went into the fiery furnace with the knowledge that God was going to protect them. They didn't know how. They didn't know what God was going to do. But they went into the fire trusting God. Hey, if you're going to die, die trusting God. You can't go wrong. They went into that furnace. Their trust was completely in God. They did not lean to their own understanding. They acknowledged God in all their ways. And they went into that furnace. They were thrown in. And the minute their feet hit the ground, Jesus was right there. And they had a dance party in the furnace. Woo! I'll get excited about God. I don't care if it all falls off. But see, God was with them in the trouble. He didn't take them out of the trouble. He was there with them. He brought them through the trouble. God, that's what God wants to do for us. He doesn't necessarily stop the trouble, but he's certainly with you when the trouble comes. But you got to call on him. How many got God on speed dial? Call on him. And what? He's going to answer you. He's going to be with you. So these are things on how we can activate God's protection. Dwell, trust, declare, take refuge, fear not, know that angels will help you. You can tread on the lion, the cobra, the young lion, and the serpent. Do you realize all those are names of the devil? You can tread on him? See, I can tread on him. What does that mean? You can walk on him. I'll tell you, one of my favorite bands of the 80s, you know, I listened to heavenly metal. You say, well, what's heavenly metal? It's rock and roll music that glorified Jesus. There was a group by the name of Jerusalem, and the name of their album was Dancing on the Head of the Serpent. I'm telling you, it's an awesome thing. So, and while you're facing danger, you also got to listen. If God says don't go there, he means don't go there. There's a reason why he's telling you not to go there. You just got to listen. Oh, it's just the pizza I ate last night. No, it's the Holy Ghost. Why do you think he's telling you? You know, I mean, how many stories have you heard of people? You know, something inside me was telling me not to do it, but I did it anyway. And I experienced the harm. Well, you should listen to that thing. That's the Holy Ghost. Listen. God did not come down to the garden and knock the fruit out of Adam's hand. Because his word was sufficient. You eat of this tree, you're going to die. God doesn't have to do anything else. Okay? And Adam did not trust his word. So what did he do? He took it. He ate it. What happened? He died. So protection is yours. Protection is a promise. Protection is part of the covenant, but you got to activate it. Amen? Why don't you stand up, please? Oh, you know what? We could praise God for the things that he's delivered us from and protected us from and kept us from. We're all here because God delivered us at one point. Amen? Isn't that right, Stephen? God delivered you from sickness and disease. He's here today because you didn't know it, but God had a plan for you. God wanted to do something greater. And he said, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to let sickness take you out. I'm going to step in and I'm going to put a stop to it. Father, right now, I thank you, Lord, that your plans for this young man, will unfold, Lord. You'll lead him to greatness in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, you've delivered him. You've brought him this far, Father, but you've got so many great things to bring him into, Lord. Unfold your plan. Instill with him vision, Father. Give him the strength and the courage to go forth in God and to do great and mighty things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless your holy name, Father. Maybe you're here today and you just need to be assured that God's got your back, that God's got you covered, that